views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call. Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder and CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? This is Rudy Racine, and you're listening to the Higher Learners podcast on Transformation Talk Radio, where every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics to help you sharpen your professional skills and help you get to the next level in your career. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. And to help us explore this topic, I've invited a special guest to join us on today's show. We have attorney and host of the December 26er podcast, Delisha Grant. Welcome, Delisha.
Thanks for having me, Rudy. Excited to be with you.
I'm excited to have you on here. And for those of you that don't know, I was actually a guest on Delisha's podcast, the December 26er podcast, a few weeks ago. So I strongly recommend checking out the December 26er podcast and checking out my episode on episode 17 and the other episodes because they're all awesome. So,
you were
Delisha,
an awesome guest, might I add.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, you know, I mentioned, Delisha, that you are an attorney and the host of the December 26er podcast. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, Delisha.
Sure. So I have been practicing law now for going on 9 years. I am a business attorney with my roots steeped in startup and entertainment work. So I've worked with a plethora of companies from one-person startups all the way up to working with Fortune 500 corporations. So when I'm not negotiating contracts and closing deals, I am a podcast host and motivational speaker. So in my spare time, I'm often curating motivational content to be released out to the web or via speaking engagements to really encourage high achievers to live with intention, live out loud, and really exhaust their potential.
Excellent. Excellent. So now this podcast, the December 26er podcast, talk to me about it. Where did it come from?
So this is an idea that I've been toying with for the last, at this point, 5.5 years. So it started as a podcast. And this concept of December 26er, I'll give a brief overview of how that happened, where the name came from. As a child, Christmas was my favorite holiday, and it had nothing to do with the toys. It was all about being with family and my cousins and, you know, my grandparents and the good food and the big tree, and et cetera. And then on the 26th, it'd be over, and I'd have this post-holiday blues, and I wouldn't get excited again until my birthday was around the corner in February. So it's a term that I coined in adulthood that I started using for the more mundane periods in life, and I called it December 26 syndrome. So, you know, oftentimes when you're a high achiever and you have a goal in mind, you have a laser-like focus, you're really, you know, putting the pedal to the metal, nose to the grindstone, and making it happen. But when you don't necessarily know what's next or you've gotten into a rut, it can be hard to keep that same momentum. So from that sort of morphed or, you know, was born like this podcast idea of people who struggle with that, but know there's a better way and desire to be intentional on a daily basis, desire to live with purpose and be mindful and really create the lives that they want. We call those folks December 26ers. So over time, I realized blogging was really difficult to keep up with because you got to write everything out. And someone actually suggested to me, why don't you start a podcast? So at the time, I was like, what am I going to talk about week in and week out? But I tried it. You know, I decided to pull the trigger and it has worked and I'm enjoying it very much.
Awesome. Awesome. And as I mentioned, you know, being a guest on your show, I think There's a lot of great content that you talk about on the December 26th podcast. So you talked about that day after Christmas, where you kind of mm-hmm. feel like everything's gone. The holiday is over. So at what point in your career would you feel like you experienced that feeling that the December 26th talks about?
You know, I think it has happened for me a couple of different times. The first time, which I haven't even spoken about on the podcast or in any interview, I started my career actually as a litigator. So I came out of law school shortly after the big crash of 08. So what that means is I was an 09 grad. So what that means is we were getting offers and really planning for our futures in 2008. If you know anything about law school, you're on a schedule. Everything moves in lockstep. So, you know, we're all in school. We're interviewing. Many of us have offers. We're ready to go. And then the bottom falls out of industry, like, you know, across corporations. And, of course, that trickles down. If big companies can't, you know, pay their bills or their revenue is down, then they're going to start questioning their legal bills from large corporations. Mm-hmm. And they start questioning how many associates they should bring in. So we would literally show up to law school on a day-to-day basis and try to figure out who had gotten a letter saying that they were either deferred or their offer was pulled altogether. It was a terrible time to be coming out of law school. So I was one of the people who was fortunate enough actually to hold on to my offer. But then I woke up one day and realized it wasn't where I needed to be for a number of reasons. So I decided to come to New York and figure it out. I knew at that point that I wanted to work with entrepreneurs and work in startups. And I knew that had to happen either on the West Coast, you know, in the Bay Area, or what they call Silicon Alley in New York. New York was bubbling at that point with a number of small companies. So I came to New York, but, you know, it's hard as a new attorney to just hang a shingle and get out there and start making money. People do it often out of necessity, not out of desire. But I saw really quickly that I needed to do something else. So I ended up taking a position in the wonderful world of litigation, which I knew going into my legal career that I did not want to be a litigator. But it was what was available to me at the time. I took it. I was actually good at it. I just didn't enjoy it. And then 2 years in my personal life, someone I knew who was a little bit younger than me died of cancer. A friend of mine had passed away, and none of us knew that she was even sick. She kept it a secret, and she passed away. And I remember finding out when she was like literally in her final days, and my girlfriend and I, we went to her service, and I remember coming back. This was right before the holidays, and I said, I can't do this job anymore. Like, tomorrow's not promised. I don't know what's next for me, but I think it's time for me to make a move. I sent an email. This was like BlackBerry days. I sent an email from my BlackBerry to one of the senior partners at my firm, and I said, I need to talk to you when I get back. That led to an amicable split with that organization. So amicable, in fact, that they actually sent work to me at my new firm. I launched a practice at that point and started to figure it out. So I knew there were skills that I picked up there that I still use to this day. Believe it or not, being a litigator really helps you to know how to interview people and ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. So the podcast has been a full circle moment for me in that some of the skills that I picked up there, even though I didn't like the job, really helped in what I'm doing now. So, you know, everything works out for our good. I won't get on that soapbox yet, but it does. Mm-hmm. So, but it was in that moment, that was my first pivot as an attorney where I realized this is not it. I've got to move into something else. So that is how I launched my solo practice back in 2012.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah.
It sounds like a scary moment, right? So obviously, you know, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your friend. And I know that was probably a trying time and highly emotional, but it sounds like really scary when you realize that this is not what you want to do. And I know a lot of our listeners are desirous of transitioning in their career. They want to grow in their career. So talk to me about how you were able to overcome that fear and stay motivated and find your way.
Well, you know, I was in a good position because even though I knew that I was ready to move on, I chose to have that conversation. I didn't just resign. So I went back and I, you know, talked to the senior partner and I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I think it's time for me to make a move. And I found out in that conversation that there were some transitions happening behind the scenes with the partners and the restructuring. And it actually made sense for me to go at that point. I wasn't in danger of losing my job, but I just knew that the firm was going to look very differently when that transition was over. And the partner that I was speaking to actually was secretly planning to leave himself to go to another firm. So, but because I had that conversation and I came to him in earnest, there was an opportunity there for me to earn income from day one. So when I left and started my practice and turned the lights on, signed a lease on a Fifth Avenue office, co-working space, turned the lights on, I was making money the first day because I had that lined up. And also because I knew that I didn't want to be a litigator forever, I was consistently networking during that time. So while I was working in that position, even before I decided to leave, I was maintaining contacts and building up my Rolodex, you know, kind of talking to people about what I thought my next step was going to be. So, you know, I had two things in my favor. It was that they were sending work to me, the firm, but also this Rolodex of people that when I made the decision that I'm going to hang a shingle and get started, and I sent that message out, my phone was ringing the first day. I signed up my first client in that first week. So that helped in the process. So I would say to those who, you know, want to make a transition, I know when you are in a position that you are burnt out in or you feel like you've exhausted everything you could learn from there, it's easy to be like, I'm done. Like, I'm calling it quits. I'm resigning tomorrow. That's the end of it. And I'm not, and some, there are some instances where that's okay, but think it through and make sure you have the proper foundation so that you're not in a situation where you wake up the next day and you're like, okay, that job's over. What now? Some people have the capacity for that, but a lot of people don't. So, you know, I would say that for me, what helped me to get past the fear is that I had some things lined up that I could get a little bit of momentum going and build on that from the beginning.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that transition and how you got to where you are today. But I also want to hear more about the December 26er podcast and some of the keys that you've gained from being a host on that show. So you can share with our listeners some of the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. So stay with us. We will be right back with Delisha Grant talking about the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. That's a tongue twister. Stay tuned. We'll be right back, everyone.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine, where every other week we discuss topics that help you sharpen skills to get you to the next level in your career. Today, we are talking with Ms. Delisha Grant, the host of the December 26er podcast, and we're talking about keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. So after the break, I kind of laughed because I was mad that I stumbled. So I'm assuring my listeners that I will not stumble on the title of this podcast for the rest of the show. Fingers crossed. Keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. All right. So before we went to break, Delisha, you were talking about how you left your firm as a litigator and you started your own practice. And you mentioned how important it was for you to network. And that's actually what made it easy or a seamless transition for you. So talk to us about that process of networking and how it was important in your transition.
Sure. So I think the word networking is used so much now. People sort of, their eyes glaze over and they're like, oh, here we go with the networking conversation. But it really is a mixed bag. When I say networking, I don't mean just going to events in the city, right? Because we all get those invitations all the time. This happy hour, this fireside chat where you go, you have very surface conversations with a bunch of people and, you know, you exchange cards and say, oh, we should keep in touch. And then nothing ever happens after that. I'm not talking about that kind of networking. Being seen on the scene and going to events, yes, you can make connections that way. But for me, what that means is very focused, intentional correspondence and connection with people. So even if you meet them in those environments, making sure that you're cultivating a relationship, because I can tell you, I've had people meet me at events, we exchange information, I tell you no lie, people have sent me a text or an email like 4 years later, hey, Delisha, I came across your card just wondering how things are going, and I have no idea who they are. And they tell me we met at some event, and I'm like, unless they left some impact on me, I have no clue. And now they want something from me, and I'm like, I don't even remember who you are. So that's not the way to go about it. But for me, what I did was I started reaching out to the people that I knew to be influencers and connectors and saying, hey, this is where I'm in my career. This is where I'm trying to go. Can we have a conversation about it? And also, are there other people that you think I should be talking to? So I would share my vision for my career with other people and just say, hey, this is why I'm coming to you, because I know you're involved in X, Y, and Z, and I feel like you could offer some insight or guidance to me. Like, what do you think, right? And those meetings, when you set it up in a way where it's very intentional and you have a focus and a direction for the conversation, be it by phone, be it over coffee, lunch, dinner, et cetera, people are often willing to help. And I think where a lot of people get caught up is they just send these, like, blanket messages, like, can you meet up sometime to have a chat? And it's not really focused enough for people to latch on to that and want to be open to you. So I started with a very small circle in New York. I did not go to school here. You know, I went to school in D.C. I had very few contacts in entertainment, tech, startup, that entire world. But I started with what I had. And I had my elevator pitch together. I had, you know, my talking points about my experience. I knew as much as I could about the other person. And more importantly, I was always willing to help them in any way that I can. Because I believe firmly that even when you're going to someone else for, you know, the hookup, for lack of a better term, or connections or what have you, or you're trying to pitch them to be a client at some point of yours, outside of all of that, we all have something that we can offer to help each other without getting anything in return. So I tried to seize those opportunities, too, to do favors if necessary. And people don't forget that, you know, most people do not. So by the time things got rolling with the practice, people knew I was the real deal because I was maintaining those connections for a couple of years already. So when it happened, it wasn't like, oh, what do you want from me? It was like, oh, you finally made that next step we've been talking about. Listen, let me introduce you to these seven other people. Oh, I've got this event going on, or I've got this, you know, venture that I'm working on. Can you help out? Can you advise in some way? So it's really about going beyond attending the quote networking events and really building solid foundations with people so that they know you're in it for the long haul and you want to get to know them and make it a mutually beneficial relationship.
That's such awesome and excellent information. I think the importance of being focused and intentional is key, mm-hmm. right? So I think a lot of our listeners sometimes, they struggle with their ask, right? So they make a connection, yeah. and the first thing that they want to ask is your company hiring, or, you know, are there any mm-hmm. jobs for me? And I like to say that's the wrong ask. It's the wrong question to ask, because essentially you're asking right. the network or the contact that they have to search jobs for you. So hearing you say right. being focused and intentional and the relationship, building that relationship and offering more than you're looking to receive. For those of you listening, that was actually something in the 5 keys to personal and professional growth in the last episode. So definitely check that out. Now, Delisha, for the listeners that when it comes to networking and going to a social event and interacting with people scare the life out of them. What are some of the things that you recommend? How did you get comfortable with just going to these events and having conversations with people that were focused and intentional and really developed you and your career?
Well, you might be surprised to know that I'm actually an introvert. people are always like super shocked when I tell them that. I am an introvert through and through. I get energy. I'm empowered by like being by myself and quiet, like with no noise, not around a bunch of people. I'm not someone that has to be on the scene. So for me, going to those kinds of events, even though I can have a civilized, productive conversation with people and appear very relaxed, they are brutal for me. It feels like work. So for me, the first thing I just decided was, you know what? And no matter what happens, I'm going to try to hit X number of events a week, because a lot of it just comes by doing, right? You've got to practice. So I would say, okay, you know, I'm going to get on as many listservs as I can, connect with a bunch of people, and then and naturally, the invitations are going to start rolling in. I'm going to try to get to 2 to 3 events, you know, a week. Then from that, anytime they would release either panelists or featured guests or list of attendees, I would try to pinpoint some folks ahead of time that I knew I wanted to talk to. And if none of that was on the list, at least the organizer, right? At least the people who put it together. And I would do a little bit of research on them. So that small list, right, that hit list that I have, so I have something to talk about that doesn't start with, so what do you do? Because I already know what you do, right? So it's a more focused question. It's something like, oh, you know, not what do you do, even though you know they're a journalist. It's like, hey, I know that you are a freelance journalist. I saw that article you wrote for The Root. That was amazing. How did you find people to interview for that article? Something that just gets the conversation going. If you can do that and you basically have almost interview questions for the other person in your mind already, and you're someone who dreads those conversations, that will help to get it going. Also, something else that I think is really important is just having things to talk about. If you're going to a tech-focused event, just read TechCrunch that day to figure out what's going on in the industry, or whatever your thing is, National Association of Black Journalists, whatever you're into, you need to know what the news of the day is, because that is something else to talk about. So not everybody is quick on the fly. It's okay to prepare. And the other thing that I would say that takes practice but will help is I've never been afraid to end a conversation. So that's the hard part for a lot of people. Like, they get into it, you know, they get what they need, they have the exchange, or they get stuck talking to this one person for 35 minutes in a networking setting, right? And there are other people they want to talk to, or the conversation has just run its course. There's nothing wrong at an appropriate point to say, well, it was great meeting you. I'd love to keep in touch. Can we exchange information? You know, make that happen. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your night and keep it moving. Everybody knows what you're there to do, right? So I would just say, like, repetition, and you have to see it, even if it's something that you never get comfortable with after doing it often. I know for me, I saw it as a necessary part of my personal and professional development, and that, you know, that goes for my career and just the person that I was trying to be. So you got to make sure that you, like, schedule it, be intentional about it as you are with everything else, and be disciplined. And another pro tip, what I realized, I started monitoring how many calls I got in the week after I would go to events and, like, be on the ball, right? Because I'm human. There are weeks when mm-hmm. I'd fall off my game, right? And there was a direct correlation between how many events I'd gone to one week and how much my phone rang the next week.
Wow.
So, you know, people think that this is just something that you do. No. Some of my best relationships have come from those networking things, be it events, be it one-on-one coffee chats, what have you, supporting other people, going to their panels where they have to speak. That's the other thing. Sometimes you're not, it's not going to be an immediate return. You know, sometimes you're just supporting someone whom you want in your network who's speaking somewhere else or has a book launch or something. So I would say, yes, be disciplined and intentional about the frequency with which you network. Make sure you have something to talk about. If there's a target list that you have, do your research in advance or just be up on current events so that you don't draw a blank in that moment. You know, and don't be afraid to end the conversation at the appropriate time and move on to somebody else as well, just to make sure that you're maximizing the experience.
I love it. I love it. Delisha, you said you were an introvert. I don't believe you.
I'm telling you, nobody ever believes it. And I, through and through, I think I've just trained myself so much to like be normal in extroverted settings, but like I am very much an introvert.
Well, I think you just shared some amazing advice for the introverted listeners and also for some of us that are introverted extroverts or extroverted introverts. Mm-hmm. I think the term is ambivert, that kind of possess both. I think it's important to always do your research, be focused and intentional, and be disciplined and plan. So mm-hmm. we gotta talk about the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. When we come back from this next break, we're going to talk a little bit about what you've learned on your podcast from your guests. And I want you to share some nuggets that you've learned throughout the journey, this December 26er podcast journey. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking to Ms. Delisha Grant, the host of the December 26er podcast. And this is the Higher Learners podcast. And this is Rudy Racine. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit karenbenton.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we have Delisha Grant, host of the December 26er podcast, on our show as a guest. And we are talking about the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. So before the break, we talked about networking, and Delisha told us how she's introverted, but she gave us a great strategy on preparing for networking events. But obviously the show, or this show's topic, is keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. And I actually got that term from Delisha. Her show focuses on that, and I felt like she was the best person to have on the show to talk about it. So, Delisha, tell me, as the host of the December 26er podcast, what is something that you feel like you've gained from the guests of your show as it relates to this topic?
So, listen, I've gained so much from my guests so far, and I think there are three common denominators that I've taken with me and I've tried to implement on my ordinary days. First and foremost is they all have unshakable vision for their lives. Whether they're entrepreneurs, whether they are an employee somewhere, or a combination of the two, some kind of hybrid, they have a very specific vision of what they want their lives to look like, and they act and they move accordingly. So no matter what people have said, even if things don't exactly look like that right now, even if the job doesn't look like what they needed to look like, they know the direction that they're headed in, and they're always moving in purpose and confidence that if it doesn't look right now, at some point it will. So that's something that I've tried to implement in my own life, and I've been through pivots professionally as well since that first one we talked about in segment one. So I try to keep my vision at top of mind and make decisions and go through life from there. So when I've had a deal go bad, or things are just not working out at the office, or I'm feeling a bit uninspired, which happens, I look to that. Okay, this is the vision that I have for my life, and this is the puzzle piece for that vision right now. So because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be for today, and there's something I need to learn here, that's why I'm still here, I can move forward confidently and find joy in that. So that's one thing that is incredibly important. And also, people are just willing to invest in themselves. The guests that I've had, you know, they had an idea in mind about what it is they want for their lives, and they were unafraid to spend money to be the best version of themselves, be it through certifications, investing in pet projects that they want to turn into something that they can monetize, being able to pull the trigger. And I talk to people a lot, 26ers, who have all these great dreams and like these big things that they want to accomplish. But when I say, oh, maybe you should go get certified in this, or maybe you should set your business up this way, or put money here into marketing, people get really tight with the purse strings. They're like, well, I don't know if I want to do that, because what if it doesn't work? And now I've thrown money into it. That tells me that you have an issue with number one. Your vision is shaky. If you're afraid to invest money into what it is that you think you're supposed to be doing, you are not committed to that vision. Full stop. So you got to go back and get the confidence first. And maybe do it afraid, right? Even if you're, you know, some people are just never going to feel 100% until they start to make the right decisions and move in a direction, see those indicators or their mile markers that tells them that they're on the right track. But you've got to be willing to put money behind yourself. Often we want other people to invest in us. But if you're not willing to do it, put what you have behind it. Other people's money is great, but if you're not willing to put money behind it, it's hard to get other people's money. So that's another one. And lastly, being unafraid to pivot. You can have a vision and you know where you want to end up, but the path to get there can change and shift and take different shapes over time. So often, you know, we want to put our best foot forward and have this image that like we've had a seamless career path, and that it's all made sense, and we've, you know, climbed the ladder, be it internally within leadership or in a business that you own, and everything's been great. But oftentimes that's not the case. And sometimes we've exhausted a course and we've got to make some changes, industry changes, market changes, et cetera. And you've got to be okay with saying, you know what, this is the path that I was on. I've exhausted the potential here. I've got to move in another direction now and figure out what that is. And other times, the opportunity will just present itself out of left field. You're like, I don't know where this came from, but, and I may not even be fully experienced in this area or fully prepared for it, but I think it's right for me. You cannot have fear of making those transitions. And sometimes you got to do it and learn as you go. And you also have to do it without fear or concern about what other people will say. Because, you know, when you're someone who's, you know, made a few turns, sometimes people are like, oh, what are you doing now? I thought you were working here, or I thought you were in this business, or I thought you were in this role, and now you're doing this thing over here. You can't worry about that, right? And we live in a day and age where people's careers are a lot more storied with a lot of different chapters. Not everybody's going to stay at like the same job for 100 years or in the same position or the same type of work. The world is large, right? And there's a lot of opportunities. So if the right thing presents itself, you can't be afraid to make the shift. Or if life is pushing you in that direction, you have to do a reset. Go for it.
Oh, man. Everything you just said is just really resonating with me. And I think the theme in those three was just fear and dealing with fear and coping mm-hmm. with the fear of failure in some cases. I think when you were talking about investing in yourself, and you said just sometimes you got to do it afraid. What sprung out for me was, I think there was a Will Smith video, and he talked about skydiving, right? And I'm not going to tell mm-hmm. the full skydiving story. Check it out on YouTube. It's a great story, Will Smith talking about skydiving. But he says that sometimes our greatest joys can be found on the other side of fear, right?
Absolutely.
And we stand and we're afraid to kind of invest in ourselves. We're afraid to take that leap. And that's another good video to watch, the Steve Harvey one, where he talks about taking a leap. But sometimes the greatest satisfaction stands on the other side of fear. Can you talk, Delisha, about a time where you were able to kind of go through that fear and you feel like you got to the other side and you've achieved or you experienced that satisfaction and that joy?
Sure. So, you know, as I mentioned, I made this huge leap and out into solo practice, and I turned the lights on in my office, and I had clients, right? Everything was great. And I was rocking and rolling. You know, I had spoken at some really high profile events and things were good. And I had just a series of unfortunate events over time. You know, over a period of like 2 years, I stopped counting after I think seven people in my life had passed away. So I was dealing with a lot of personal trauma. And things were not quite working out with clients. There were some clients I had let go of. There were clients who had run out of money because startup world, you know, the numbers, like, what is it, like 1 in 5 or succeed? So if you're dealing with young companies, you're going to deal with people having to shut their doors. So that was happening. And then I got to a point where things got really bad financially, and it was like a big deal that I was working on had fallen through. The firm that I was getting work from went through another reorg, and the work that they were giving to me then went away. So it was like everything was a comedy of errors. It all just happened at the same time. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, what am I going to do? I didn't know where to turn, what to do, what have you. And I had to make a decision. So I'd spent all this time out in the world talking to people about entrepreneurship and how they could do it and everything was going to be awesome. And then I'm now failing. Like I'm now going through a really difficult period, and I didn't have the capital to keep it. My runway was short at that point. So I had to make a decision. And what that decision was at the time was, I got to go find work. Now imagine being this well-respected attorney, right, with a solo practice, office on Fifth Avenue, somebody that people look to for advice and guidance. At that point, I had spoken at the National Action Network's annual convention twice. One of those years, same year, number 44, Barack Obama spoke as well. So, right, I'm making waves. And now I'm like, am I going to have to go work for somebody else? Because this is not working for me. And I ended up making that decision. Not only that, I took work that I was like way overqualified for, like just some contract work to figure it out. But it allowed me to figure out, one, how to keep myself afloat, but it gave me a break from the stress of what I was dealing with. And sometimes, that brings me back to my other point, being willing to invest in yourself doesn't always mean going to take a class or doing something enriching. Sometimes it's taking a position that just allows you to alleviate some of the stress in your life. That's investing in your own self-care. So the fear for me in that situation was, am I ever going to be able to turn this practice around? What are people going to think? People who believed in me, people who, you know, I've advised, my family, my friends, et cetera, are they going to see me as a failure? And will I ever be on top again? And, you know, by doing this and taking this position, contract position that was, quote, beneath me, what is that going to look like on my resume? Like, there were all these things where I felt like I had driven my career off a cliff. And my fear was that I never would be able to turn the ship around and get myself back on the right track. We've got limited time, so maybe we'll do a part two at some point, and I'll tell you how I got myself back on track. But I had to put all that fear of, like, judgment and what people thought, and even what I thought about myself, aside. I had so much self-worth tied up in that practice and being able to say that I'm a Black female attorney who runs a startup law firm on Fifth Avenue. I had so much of my identity tied up in that having it stripped away, in a sense, really forced me to figure out who I was outside of that and realizing that I can be a leader anywhere. I can be a leader at a contract position. I can be a leader in my own business. I can be a leader in a corporation. Who I am is going to shine through. And those experiences only add to me.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
So, no problem.
So you talked about just being a leader, and the Higher Learners podcast, we touch on just being an effective leader and growing into leadership positions. So I do want to delve into, you know, your thoughts on being a leader and some things that our listeners can do to become more effective leaders. But before we dive into that, we got to take one last break. We are here with Delisha Grant, host of the December 26er podcast. She's dropping some serious jewels on us, and we're discussing keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. So stay with us. We are going to take one final break. We'll be right back with Delisha Grant. Thank you so much.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. And the person that I heard this quote from, or that term from, was the host of the December 26er podcast, who we have joining us today, Ms. Delisha Grant. So in the first couple of segments, we talked a little bit about the December 26er podcast. So for those of you that are interested in the December 26er podcast, it's spelled the word December and then the number 26ER, December 26er. So if you're interested in learning about that podcast, you can go to www.december26er.com. Is that correct, Delisha?
That is correct.
Just wanted to be sure. Cool. So, all right, before we went to break, we talked a little bit about leadership, and you talked about wanting to be an effective leader and the values that come along with being a leader to you. So I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about how you view leadership. Like, how would you define the term leadership?
Wow. How would I define the term leadership? I think effective leadership means inspiring other people to greatness. Inspiring other people to greatness. Absolutely. If you call yourself a leader and you're not inspiring other people to be great, to me, you're not effective in your position. It's easy to say, you know, I've been managing people, or, you know, I'm in a position of power. I know my job and I know it well. There are a lot of people out there who are in senior roles who are very good at their jobs, but terrible leaders, terrible managers, because it requires a different skill set. So for me, the tactical things about being a leader, I won't jump into a lot of that because I feel like there's so much information out there on it. But there is an element of emotional intelligence and inspiration that should go into that. So I have had to lead people as an attorney. I've managed people in my practice. I have managed people within corporations. And what I have found to be the most effective is really having open ears. So to hear what their struggles are, what their desires are. When I start to manage people, the first question I ask them is, well, two things. The first question is always, where do you see yourself in this position? If this were the ideal role for you, what would it look like? That's number one. And number two, what type of reward system would you appreciate? So if somebody were to offer up gratitude or recognition for the good things that you're doing, how would you like to be rewarded? Because I don't care who you are. We all like to have that pat on the back and something that says thank you for the good that you've done, mm-hmm. and people to recognize what you bring to the table. So those are two questions that I like to know when I'm leading anyone. And I try to operate from that place to inspire them to be in an ideal position, give the best because it looks like what they want it to look like. And you can't necessarily meet all the markers for people. Some people are just going to be dissatisfied, no matter what. Or sometimes the role's just not designed for what they really want. But I want them to feel like that as a leader, I'm creating an environment that is conducive to productivity and conducive to growth. And further, always seeking opportunities for positive reinforcement and reward. So for me, that's a very important part. And I think something that a lot of leaders lack, right? We often rule with an iron fist as opposed to ruling coming from a place of really meeting people where they're at and being sensitive to their needs, because everybody can't be managed the same. And also offering up that recognition and that reinforcement when, you know, the time allows for it.
So I think you touched on something that's really important. You talked about asking the people that you've been tasked to lead what kind of rewards they like, and also kind of get an idea of what they see their future, their vision is, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like oftentimes new leaders, they get that pressure to be successful or effective leaders immediately. And sometimes they take that title to heart and mm-hmm. they don't know how best to build that relationship. So how do you think where did you develop your leadership skills? What happened? What are some stories that may come up for you that helped develop the leader that you've become today?
My first boss and my first corporate position out of college was terrible.
We all got one.
We all got one. Like, so I hate to frame it like that, but she did not know what she was doing. And basically one of her goals for the year was to manage someone else. So she was sort of approaching it from a position of, I just want this person that's now my direct report to do what I say and do them my way so I can say that we accomplished X, Y, and Z without any regard for the type of leadership that I needed and the type of management that I needed. So I never felt heard. And I remember being 22 years old and, you know, it just wasn't going well. I knew I was a hard worker. I knew it was smart and talented, but it wasn't going well. We just weren't gelling. And I came to her and said, quote, this is not conducive to a productive work environment. And this is what I need from you to make this better. And she started crying.
Oh, you hurt her feelings.
Yes. But she said she started, and then I felt bad, but she started crying because she said her first boss was terrible. And she always said that she never wanted to be that. And she was being exactly that. So I took that experience, right, and I tried to glean from it everything that I didn't want to be. And I tried to say, okay, these are the things that would have made that position much better for me. And how can I do that for other people? And it's just been trial and error. I think nobody walks into it being amazing at it, right? And I think when I first started, when I was a litigator way back when, I was young in my legal career, but already managing a team of staff attorneys. And, you know, not everybody has the same level of like work ethic and diligence. And that was really hard for me. So I was going into it, not asking questions like, you know, what is inhibiting you from really working at your full potential here? Like, what is it that you need to do this job better? It was more like your productivity is down and why, right? So it comes off very accusatory. So for me, I had to really take a step back and say, if I'm not getting the answers that I need to make this better, I may not be asking the right questions. Some people are beyond hope, but others, yes, you've got to be an effective manager and frame the conversation the right way. So I always go back to that first boss and like do my own gut check, like what I needed, and trying to give that to people that I'm leading, especially if they're really young, early in their career, but also just working to frame the questions correctly until I get the answers that I need to help them be the best version of themselves in whatever position they're in.
And I love that you shared that story. Thank you for that. Cause I think a lot of times, you know, people go into leadership positions, and as I mentioned earlier, they don't know, but they feel like they have to know everything, right? They feel like they have to go into every room with their team, like they have all of the answers. And it sounds like you know, having that conversation with your boss, it might have been difficult for you. I'm sure, you know, since she was crying, it was probably difficult for her. But that conversation probably had a huge impact on how she led people in the future. And it also sounds like it had an impact on how she managed you going forward.
Absolutely.
A couple of things that I heard you say, or, you know, that I heard or that I gleaned from your response was just how important it is that you lose your ego when you're a leader. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to understand that everybody's different. So it sounded like that boss or that manager was trying to manage you the way that she thought she would like to be managed. And it wasn't working for you. So that conversation really, really helped. And it hopefully helped change her approach going forward. If you're listening now, thank you.
She might be cringing if she.
We won't say her name. All right. So we have a few more minutes left, but I want to get back to just the keys to being extraordinary on an ordinary day. You kind of talked about just the keys to being an extraordinary leader on an ordinary day. You gave us some great advice about, you know, just maintaining an unshakable vision, being unafraid to invest in yourself, being unafraid to pivot. Any other parting words, Delisha, that you want to share with the listeners to help them to be extraordinary on an ordinary day?
I'll just say this. I think, you know, especially for people who have, even if you're not in a leadership position right now, but it's what you aspire to be, sometimes we have this expectation that if we just work really hard and dot our I's and cross our T's, that our trajectory in our career is going to move upward in a seamless fashion without any bumps in the road. And that's not always going to be the case. You're going to find yourself in positions maybe that you thought were going to be great and it didn't turn out that way. Are you going to find yourself in positions that started off amazing, but now you're bored and trying to figure out what's next? You may even be in a role where you've exhausted everything out of that role, but you can't find a new one and you feel a little bit stuck. I am a living witness that every chapter of your life, every experience professionally and personally, is really crafting a beautiful story for you. And there is something to be gleaned from every predicament. So look for those opportunities to find the lessons. Look for opportunities to continue to hone your skills. Even if you're in a position where you feel like you've gotten all that you can get from it, there's always something else there, even if it's soft skills. And also, you know, look for if it's something that you can do with your eyes closed and you feel a bit like you're on autopilot in the position, use the downtime to really hone other skills that you have or use that time to your benefit to really beef up your knowledge in a new area, because industry is constantly changing. And a lot of positions that exist today are not going to exist in 10 years. So if there's an opportunity to expand your skill set and expand your acumen, take it. But I promise you, every chapter is for a reason, and it's crafting this beautiful story of strength, courage, and wisdom. So stay the course.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're just about out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell the listeners how they can find you.
Yes. Yeah, so December 26th, Rudy did mention the website, www.december26er.com. We are also on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and TuneIn, as well as SoundCloud. So if you just Google December 26er, that will come up. Also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, if you search for December 26ER, you should find us. And you can find my personal account on Instagram at DJGLaw.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Delisha. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. With that, my friends, Higher Learners podcast listeners, thank you so much for your time and your attention. I really appreciate you sitting through an hour of me talking, and thankfully we had Delisha to kind of make up some of the you know, break the space between my words. So thank you again. I look forward to hearing you on the first and third Monday of every month. Higher Learners podcast, tuning out. This is Rudy Racine. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.